WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. They're ringing in the new year in Australia this hour. This New Yorker is in Sydney enjoying the 72-degree weather at midnight. He says it's a big change from back home where usually...
It's cold. Very, very cold. Snowy, icy. Yeah, so this is very different from what we have in America on New Year's Eve.
CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano is forecasting rain tonight in New York and gusty winds elsewhere.
Winds will be gusting 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 miles an hour in places like Nashville or Lexington. So that could bring down some trees or power lines, but Chicago to Cleveland and to places like Roanoke, at least hold on to your party hats.
People are paying tribute to former President Jimmy Carter in his home state of Georgia.
The life that Jimmy Carter lived certainly was that of a human saint.
Carter will lie in repose at his presidential library in Atlanta this weekend. Next week, he will lie in state at the U.S. Capitol ahead of his state funeral next Thursday in Washington, D.C. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Health experts are warning Wisconsin residents that they expect to see a spike in respiratory viruses this winter. The state has already seen an elevated number of norovirus and whooping cough cases this year, but the flu rate has remained steady with last year's numbers despite declining vaccination rates, and RSV cases are low but starting to increase. Health officials say that especially after the holidays, respiratory viruses could see spikes after residents traveled to see friends and family while remaining mostly indoors. A Wisconsin Policy Forum report has found that the average household income is not keeping up with the average price of a home. According to the report, the median sales price for a home in Wisconsin rose over 50% from about $173,000 to about $265,000 between 2017 and 2022. During the same period, the median household income only grew about 20% from just under $60,000 to just under $71,000, creating a home price-to-income ratio of 3.7. The Pioneer Village Museum Board is looking for support from the community as they pursue a $2.5 million building project. According to organization officials, the project would host a welcome center, new offices, and a gift shop at the Barron County Museum, as well as a storage facility that meets the special air quality requirements needed to store historical artifacts. The museum board is looking for donations to help them achieve those goals, and contributions can be mailed directly to their facility marked for the building project. City of Altoona officials are warning residents about an inventory error which could have left some lead service pipes in place. Over 3,000 homes in the city have received the notice, along with the assurance that the city is working to rectify the inventory error in the first quarter of 2025. Public Works officials say they haven't seen any evidence of widespread lead contamination in the service pipes, but residents should keep an eye on their water quality with testing or install a filtration system to better protect themselves. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Marquette basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Marquette Golden Eagles are on the road in Rhode Island tonight to take on the Providence Friars. Marquette now 11-2 for the season. Head coach Shaka Smart on being ranked 8th in the nation again this week.
In sports, it comes down to what color you're wearing, you know, and which side you're on and which perspective you have. You know, what I tell our guys is we're going to control the controllables, and it doesn't change regardless of the results out there.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks in Chicago against the Bulls. A recap on those games coming up later tonight. NFL, the Packers reviewing the tape of their 27-25 loss to the Vikings Sunday. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought there was a lot of things within our own control in terms of playing with fundamentals and discipline that we did not do a very good job of, and that was disappointing. It just was sloppy football.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with a few scattered light snow showers possible here today. Our high in the low 30s with wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight, we're going to drop down into the upper teens. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey K., a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On New Year's Day morning, we'll have some more of our favorite moments from a year's worth of great guests, big stories, and lessons we've learned in 2024.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Can you hear me?
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning, Calvin. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. What are you going to do for New Year's?
You know, I'm not a very exciting. I'll probably just hang out at home, maybe watch a movie.
Hey, you sound like Sandy and I. Well, not Sandy. Sandy's probably going to be, you know, blazing.
Should I be able to hear you?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Sandy, you got a question mark look on your face, so I don't think you can hear us. But anyway, while we're trying to get Sandy together, Calvin, you know, I haven't done a New Year's thing and I don't know how long, man. Sandy, are you there?
I am here, yep.
All right. So you plan on blazing?
No, you know, in fact, my twin sons were born 49 years ago today. So I'll be going out to dinner with them, which is something that's been happening for many years.
You know, Sandy, it's unbelievable. You and I were talking a little earlier. Man, can you 2025?
You know, I was saying when I did my estate planning when I was about 50 for the first time, and I didn't even think I'd be around in 2025. I mean, it's like, you know, this is 2025. We pretty soon we'll just start saying 25 instead of 2025. Remember, for the last half of the 20th century, you'd say you were born, you know, like in 1976. You didn't say 1976.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we're there now in the 21st century.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and man, you know, I know it's here, you know, and we're fortunate to be, well, we haven't made it yet, but, you know, anything can happen. But, man, to still be around in 2025, I remember so vividly, Sandy, the conversations about the year 2000.
Yeah, you know, I heard a comedian talking about this, but in 1985, when we talked about science fiction future years, we didn't even get out to 2025.
No.
We were talking about, you know, 2012 or 1999 or, you know, way into the future. Well, now we're way into the future.
You know, I still watched the old Twilight Zone stuff. Okay, you know. Kick me. I told you I'm a guy that still watches the 1940 movies. But I'm in that genre, and I'm watching the Twilight Zone movie the other day, probably, Sandy, from 1960s, mid-1960s, the Twilight Zone with Rod Serling. And they were into the future, and it was 1985.
And I'm like, well, you know, the 1984 was the name of that book, right? That was way into the future at one point. No, we're definitely way into the future, and it's not quite dystopian, but there's a worry.
Well, we're way into the future for you and I, not for Calvin.
Yeah, Calvin. Now, Calvin, when you're thinking about a science fiction future year, what year would you lock onto? Is it the 2040s, or how far ahead do we have to get beyond imagination?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's because we're kind of seeing where we could go very clearly, or if it's because past science fiction writers overestimated where we would be by now. But for me, when I think of like far future science fiction, I go to like 2500.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Calvin, you're not going to be around then. not unless the science fiction guys are right about freezing people and waking them up again. You know, that could happen, I suppose.
You know, Sandy, you just... I couldn't help but think about technology and the advancements of it just in my lifetime. And yeah, it is just unbelievable.
Yeah, Dick Tracy's watch phone. You know, I can just put my Apple Watch up to my mouth and talk into it. So yeah. I guess we're there with that.
You know, I was looking at a guy answer a telephone the other day, and I looked in amazement. Hey, Sandy, he's talking on a telephone.
Well, maybe Calvin would know how, but there are plenty of young people who would have no idea how to dial a telephone, right? The old dial phone.
Right.
Have
the rotary thing. But you know,
Sandy,
I was watching Calvin the other day pick up the phone and answer the caller. And man, I'm so far removed from somebody picking up a phone and actually, but Calvin does it every day because of the job he does. But when is the last time you picked up a telephone, Sandy, a handheld phone?
Well, we got rid of our landline. You know, I don't have a landline. What good is that?
But even if we had I still got a landline. You know, for nostalgia purposes.
What's a landline?
but I don't have a phone that you actually literally pick up and put up to your ear. It's a mobile thing that you can.
Where do you put your telephone, for Earl?
Oh, you do. I guess but it's where you can walk around with it. It doesn't have the attached cord to it.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Well, Sandy, come on. You're just exposing me. But you're right, man. I mean, but I remember when those things came in, Sandy, and they were the new technology. It means we've been around a while.
It definitely does.
Yeah, you know. But thinking about...
Look, when I was growing up, my grandmother had a house on a lake, and we had a party line, meaning that there were multiple people on the same phone line. So you could easily pick it up and entertain yourself with somebody else's conversation. It wasn't polite, but it was certainly feasible.
Hey, Sandy, I saw that in a movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I never thought it was real. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, the phone would ring twice when it was my grandmother's line. It would ring once for the neighbors, and it would ring three times for the other neighbor. And so you knew who was on, and you could just pick it up.
But while we're, walking down this nostalgic road, I remember so many people working at AT&T, and they really got paid well, and they were mainly women, and they worked on the where the phone calls would come in, the switchboards.
Switchboard, yeah.
And the phone rang. That wasn't so far out of my life cycle. I remember I knew people who worked at AT&T. They got paid handsomely during those times, and
well, yeah, yeah, we had a switchboard at the law firm when I started at. You know, we had a woman who sat there connecting cords to holes and making calls happen. Yep. See, the good old days.
Yeah,
we're never going back.
No, and then you look at, as you stated, I don't know, they've got a new what do you call the phones that you have? I have an Android, but you have a
Apple phone.
An Apple iPhone. What is it, 16 now?
Yeah.
But
16 isn't that many years, so to think that what's happened to cell phones has happened in about 20 years, because the 16 is the actual number of years since the first Apple phone.
But the technology in it has really advanced, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, my phone does much more than the mainframe computer did at the university I went to for business school. We used to have to take problems into the computer center so they could run like do things that our phone does instantaneously. We used to have to take the problem to the computer center and come back the next day to get the answer.
And so you have a what, 15?
I have a 16.
You got a 16. Okay. Well, you stay on top of technology.
I'm a nerd.
Well, hey, look, I'm still struggling.
Just look at me, for God's sake.
Yeah. I'm still struggling trying to figure out my Android from 2 years ago. So you know, you're that much further advanced than I am with it. But 855-752-4842. You know, it's Tuesday. It's New Year's Eve. You know, I'm with my co-host Sandy Williams, and we've got an awful lot that we're going to be discussing. Sandy, you know, Jimmy Carter finally expired.
Well, Jimmy Carter was an unbelievable guy, and obviously he had probably lived a little longer than he even wanted to live, you know, in terms of his life quality for the last year or two. But wow. He had a long and very fruitful life, and most of his accomplishments were post-presidency in terms of the things that he really ought to be remembered for. He probably had the potential to be a very good president, but he became the president in the midst of a lot of problems. The country was experiencing high inflation. We were suffering from a recession, something called stagflation, which incidentally is the very thing I fear we might be headed towards with our current president-elect enacts everything he wants to or has talked about enacting. But since his presidency, you know, Habitat for Humanity, peace accord in the Mideast, he's mediated a whole bunch of peace agreements around the world that were the result of wars in, for instance, the Balkans. He's done some wonderful things.
Established the Department of Education and all sorts of things that people don't really think about. We're going to touch base on a few of those. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. 855-752-4842. Your thoughts on former President Jimmy Carter.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else, public institutions and private enterprise, our own families and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing? One whose arms are holding you so tight, when it's exactly 12 o'clock at night, welcoming in the new year. New year.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday, New Year's Eve, and I'm hanging out with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you. So Sandy, I don't need the music.
Well, the music, actually, that's by a group called the Orioles, and that was the very first rendition of that song back in 1949. Everybody else covered it, but that actually is the original recording, and the Orioles were one of the early pop groups.
That was a pop group?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, I guess at that time, that would, you know.
1949.
Yeah. When you think pop, well, anyway, I think about, you know. But anyway, Sandy, Jimmy Carter and a man, it's safe to say, was misunderstood as the president, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he kind of suffered through a presidency where he wasn't that highly regarded, although, you know, but for the Anderson-Lucy ticket that ran against him, as a third party, he might have beaten Ronald Reagan in his race in 1980. But you know, he suffered a number of situations that didn't bode well for him: the inflation, the stagflation, the Iranian hostage situation that went on for the last period right surrounding the time of the election. And so, you know, he was a different kind of a personality. He had a big smile all the time and had a Southern accent. And we hadn't really experienced that in a president, for, maybe a very long time. He was defeated by Ronald Reagan and put in the rearview mirror. But while he was in the rearview mirror, he began to do marvelous things and has, you know, won the Nobel Peace Prize, was constantly recognized for his humanitarianism. And I'm sure had the most remarkable post-presidency of any of our presidents ever.
You know, Sandy, I bet people had noticed Jimmy Carter led the cleanup maintenance crew that managed the nuclear meltdown in one of the experimental NRX reactors of the Atomic Energy of Canada. During the salvage exercise, he drew on all the years of experience he had with the U.S. Navy's nuclear submarine program. How many people knew that as a young man that he was involved in that? Carter and the cleanup crew literally put their lives in harm's way as they tried to clear the radioactive water that had flooded the reactor's basement. Jimmy Carter was a champion of racial integration in schools in America. The passion of his was seen beginning around the 1950s when he encouraged his community to be more tolerant and acceptable of racial integration. As a member of the state of Georgia Senate between 1963 and 1967, Jimmy Carter was involved in a host of social and economic programs. I don't want to get into all those different programs. En route to becoming the 76th governor of Georgia, Jimmy Carter defeated Carl Sanders at the Democratic primary. He went on to defeat Republican George Wallace in 1970 gubernatorial election. That had to be a major accomplishment, Sandy, in 1970, with George Wallace being the kind of guy he was, that Jimmy Carter could somehow, defeat him. En route to, riding on the themes of optimism, change, and equality, Carter secured a good win against incumbent President Gerald Ford in 1976 presidential election. The Ford administration struggled to shake of the fallout from the Watergate scandal of President Richard Nixon, hence providing a comfortable win for Democrats. In his first few days in office, Carter issued a presidential pardon proclamation, Sandy, to all Vietnam draft dodgers. That was a big deal.
He was a very courageous guy. He basically followed his best instincts and was not a particularly political character. He was a born again Christian. He was
a real one,
and I think that the evangelicals today should have him as up there on the wall as one of the heroes. In terms of being living a Christian life in the manner that I think Christians would all want to live their lives. So, no, he was a real champion and a wonderful, obviously, in retrospect, a wonderful human being. And I think he's been recognized as that by everyone.
You know, the only thing, Sandy, that I would say is that he will go down, unfortunately. You'll hear people say one of the worst presidents in the history of this nation. I don't agree with that. You know about the Camp David Accords. You know about he established the Department of Energy, education. He did some great things, Sandy.
Well, actually, this worst president thing, the further you get out in history, the less likely it is that he would go down in that respect. I think the early reports on who's a good president or who's a bad president are much more filled with the emotions of current thinking and not the retrospective view of what someone accomplished. And actually, he accomplished a fair amount in his 4 years. He also was president during a very difficult 4 years. And I suspect, quite frankly, that 100 years from now, when they list the worst presidents, he won't even be on the list.
Very well said. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday, and that means my co-host Sandy Williams. And it's New Year's Eve. So, Sandy, we're going to be talking about current events, as we move forward. 855-752-4842. You can join us on the Earl Ingram Show.
Here comes the jackpot question in advance. What do you do here?
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for matinee on air.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Counties Association is asking for significant funding to clear backlogs in the overburdened court system. Association officials are requesting a $70 million increase in the next biennial state budget, complaining that counties are spending significantly more themselves on the system than the state is. Amid the backlogs, county officials say they've had to pay for things like expansions in county jails to create more space. They also say the cost of projects like that eventually trickles down, forcing taxpayers to foot the bill. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has launched a new initiative to increase access to housing for residents struggling with mental health or substance abuse issues. The initiative will provide housing support services to state Medicaid members experiencing or at risk of experiencing homelessness through local partners, including organizations affiliated with a tribal nation or the Department of Housing and Urban Development's Continuum of Care program. Those services will be offered beginning on February 1st. The Dunn County Sheriff's Office is inviting the public to a candlelight gathering on Wednesday night to honor Correctional Officer Jeff Reynolds. Officer Reynolds was killed in a crash last week while on his way to his shift at the jail. The driver of the other car in the accident has been charged with homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. The Wisconsin State Patrol is investigating the crash, and the man is scheduled to appear in court on Friday. The candlelight gathering will be held at the Dunn County Judicial Center at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday. The Barron County Plan Commission has agreed to recommend rezoning the Burton Family Trust property in Rice Lake for mixed-use development. Plans for the land are still in the early phases, but officials intend to sell off small portions of it for things like multifamily housing, childcare facilities, and retail opportunities. If the Rice Lake City Council follows the recommendation of the County Plan Commission, the first proposal to be considered would be a 60-unit market-rate apartment building on a 4.5-acre parcel of the land. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million in change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy with a few scattered light snow showers possible here today. Our high in the low 30s with wind out of the northwest at around 10 to 20. Tonight we're going to drop down into the upper teens. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we'll review the strikes and gutters, the ups and downs, and the good and bad of 2024. Plus, how much use are those New Year's resolutions worth anyway? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, I wanted to talk about the immigrants situation in this nation. That, you know, that's kind of who we were. And a nation of immigrants that was always talked about, Sandy, that's what this nation was had come into existence being. But somewhere along the road, Sandy, we have less tolerance for immigrants. Why?
Well, that's been an off and on phenomena for a very long time. You know, the Yellow Peril was something that was written about and talked about in the 1860s, 1870s, with all of the Asian labor that came into the country and was building our railroads. And that seemed to be a political problem even that drew political attention. And we began to throttle down on the number of immigrants we allowed. But, you know, immigrants have been welcome to this country. And some of it was because the country was empty. And much of the homesteading was done by immigrants. People were invited to this country so they could head out west to Wisconsin and Oklahoma and all the places that weren't very settled in the 1840s and 50s and 60s. The Homestead Act was part of the railroad movement, and homesteading became a pathway for immigrants to come to the United States and immediately get land, be able to farm their own land. But they lived far apart from one another. And it wasn't until immigrants were coming to this country to man the factories in the Industrial Revolution that people began to be living one cheek by jowl with immigrants and worrying about the jobs that immigrants might take and the social upheaval that might result from the immigration waves. And so I had a professor in college, a guy named Oscar Handlin, wrote a book called The Uprooted in the late 1950s, won prizes for it. But it was about the fact that every wave of immigrant kind of stands on the shoulders of the prior waves of immigrants. And it's the most recent wave of immigrant is at the bottom of the totem pole. Well, not exactly the bottom of the totem pole, because the bottom of the totem pole has essentially been African Americans and since the slave era and post-slave era. But then you have these succeeding waves of immigrants. It was Irish immigrants, it was Italian immigrants, it was Polish immigrants. And each one of them looked down on the immigrants that followed them. And so we've had this kind of phenomena for quite a while. And the xenophobia of the early 1900s was very strident. And so it's a worrisome thing because our country is built on immigrants. And all these immigrants who earlier have been the bottom of the totem pole are now respected parts of our society, not even talked about. You know, in the 1950s, the Irish Americans were talked about as a block. You know, they were a voting block. They were an ethnic block. Nobody talks about Irish Americans anymore. So we do all get assimilated, but hopefully all the current waves of immigrants will also be similarly assimilated, and we can drop this hysteria, this xenophobia.
You know, Sandy, I'm not so sure that we'll get past it because, as you stated, the African American is still wallowing in that and have not been able to overcome it. And so, you know, when you look at this pushback against, again, the immigrants of color who have come to this nation, it's the history doesn't bode well that we're going to get past that.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, the yellow peril is no longer perceived in quite the same way. I mean, we do, I guess people who are visually identifiable as an ethnic group, I have a greater tendency to have a more long-term identification in that regard. But, you know, I think that the current xenophobia was whipped up politically and for the purposes of political expedience. We didn't have, when George Bush II set up the commission to try and solve the problems of immigration, it was not because there was a great deal of political pressure to do it. If there'd been political pressure, it might have been accomplished. It was simply that there was a recognition that we needed to create a more orderly process for the processing of all these immigrants who were wanting to enter the country. And it really wasn't until 2016, until Donald Trump began this process of whipping up a great deal of emotion about the movement, the amount of immigrants that were coming into the country. And now I think we're going to find that Donald Trump is going to be trying to manage expectation, because I think there's absolutely no likelihood that he will move forward with the kind of massive deportations that he was talking about during his campaign. It would be economic suicide, if not political suicide.
Well, you know, Sandy, as you stated, economic and political suicide, both of those things would occur. Because when you look at the out in California, 50% of the people, farm workers, what we call illegal immigrants. Governor Evers here in Wisconsin stated, hey, not going to happen.
Our dairy and farm industry is just entirely dependent on immigrant labor. And so is a good portion of the construction industry, particularly the residential construction industry. And so, you know, this political fever was done for expedience. Donald Trump has now been elected. He can't stand for re-election unless somehow he tries to suspend the constitutional restrictions. And I think that we're going to find that much of what he talked about during the campaign was simply expedience. And the things that he's going to be enacting now are going to be much more relating to the legacy that he wants to leave. And I think that legacy is being framed for him by the billionaires that surround him. It's going to be stuff about deregulation. It's going to be stuff about lower taxes. It's going to be stuff about getting rid of the Department of Education. It's going to be a bunch of fairly radical things that are radical, not in the direction of helping the middle class, but rather setting the table for a government that is much more responsive and easier to operate within to corporations and wealthy individuals.
You know, Sandy, when we talk about immigrants, we have to say the illegal immigrants, because that's kind of who they're talking about. And so they exist. We know they're here. They've been here forever. They do a job. They serve a purpose. And yet they were, you know, as you stated, people were led to believe that these people were here and they were causing all this havoc, and totally dismissed the positive aspects of what they add and bring to the table in this country.
Well, yes, and I think that what we do need is a process that allows people who immigrate to this country to get processed and to achieve legal status much more quickly than they currently can, because illegal status does put workers into a situation where they have little or no leverage, okay, and they become very inexpensive workers. And it's much like the discussion now about these HB1 workers who come to the country and are sponsored by employers, and they come here because they have special expertise. It's this current, you know, the couple of last couple of days where Elon Musk let Donald Trump know that, we really shouldn't be deporting HB1 workers because they're important to the computer industry. And Donald Trump flip-flopped on that issue very quickly and has left Steve Bannon and others, I guess, kind of scratching their heads and worrying. But I think two things. One, I think that his flip-flop on that is evidence of what I just said, which is that I think Donald Trump is going to be much more expedient now about what it is he actually does as compared to what he was talking about on the campaign trail. And number two, I think he's going to be very responsive to the people who he holds in highest esteem, which are those people who are very wealthy, who are as wealthy as he wishes he was. And so, you know, Elon Musk had only to discuss with him the notion that HB1s were important for him to change his mind, contrary to the views of the leadership in MAGA, the other leadership in MAGA, which is to tell me, in fact, that there really is no leadership in MAGA other than Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump is the MAGA movement, and I think that the people in who are committed to MAGA are going to be willing to follow Donald Trump wherever he takes them.
All right, let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Harold and Sandy. You were speaking about Jimmy Carter, a great humanitarian, but formerly the worst president till Joe Biden. The weakness that has been seen around the world during his presidency, we now see happen to Joe Biden. Afghanistan happened during
just to get back to something that maybe you don't know a lot about. You talk about Jimmy Carter being the worst president and his weakness. There was no war during the Jimmy Carter years. Okay, there was no war in the world to speak of. There was an Afghan invasion by Russia at that time, but the United States was not involved. I mean, I just think that people are so quick to say something like that about Jimmy Carter without a recognition of what it was that was actually done during his term in office or whether he was a good president or not. The inflation and stagflation that he inherited, okay, from Gerald Ford was not something that he caused. And the high interest rates that occurred during his term were imposed by Paul Volcker and the Federal Reserve.
Go ahead, CJ.
Interest rates were at 18.5%
pointed out. He inherited the high interest, the inflation, the inflationary economy that was stagflation, okay? And if you understand stagflation, you understand that there are no tools to beat the recession in a period of inflation, because the more money you pour into the economy, the higher the interest rates go. And so it was Paul Volcker during the term of Jimmy Carter who drove the interest rates up and finally terminated the inflationary spiral that had existed since the Arab oil embargo of 1973.
Yep, because he didn't know how to control the oil prices. And
no, you know, the oil prices... Now, wait. You know, I think we shouldn't have this debate on the radio, CJ, but the fact is that oil prices weren't controlled other than by a cartel, which was initiated in 1973. If you can remember, the oil cartel of the Mideast was formed in 1973. And at the time of Jimmy Carter's election, the United States was importing a substantial portion of its oil. And Jimmy Carter actually worked hard to increase the production of oil, and he also moved to increase the production of coal as to try to make the United States more energy independent.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the...
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle. Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday, New Year's Eve. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is on board. Sandy, you know, CJ is one of those guys who is going to continue to talk about what Jimmy Carter did not accomplish, how weak of a president he was, and he really, you know, you can fabricate anything you want to fabricate, Sandy. That doesn't mean it's true.
No, I mean, apparently there's a litmus amongst the MAGA that Jimmy Carter was the next worst and that Joe Biden has been the very worst. And we'll find out. I mean, who's the worst and best president is something that history reflects, and it takes history 30, 40, 50 years to digest the arc of history and to decide where someone sits in that course of history. But I'm pretty confident that neither one of these two presidents is going to go down into the category of worst president.
Well, and so let's do this. Let's go to Terry from the Northwoods. Hey, good morning to you, Terry. You say what?
Yeah, a couple things. I remember Jimmy talking about human rights. A lot of speeches on human rights, you know. And the second thing was, didn't they change how they figured consumer price index? They used to figure it in with, during Carter's presidency, food and gas and fuel, and then they took it out later and left them. When they figured that CPI thing, they took those two items out of there to figure the inflation rate, I guess I want to say. Am I right?
Well,
no,
the Department of Labor has a market basket that they used to determine the inflation rate and the CPI. And that market basket is changed over the years based on changes in habits of the American public. But food and fuel remains in that market basket for the analysis of CPI, but the ratios of things within that market basket have changed, and some of the other ingredients or some of the other things in that market basket that are considered have changed. But food and fuel remain there, but in different percentages.
Okay. And Sandy, about human rights, do you remember him talking about human rights? That's what sticks out to me. How many years later?
No, absolutely. He was a champion of that.
And all over the world. Actually, all over the world.
Yeah, and he actually walked the walk. You know, he didn't just talk the talk. And in fact, I think that was about the most remarkable thing about Jimmy Carter was that he always walked the walk. And he was a man of conviction, and he implemented his convictions. And maybe some of that weakened his capacity to get reelected because he was not a person of expedience, and he was not a person who acted like he was beholden to K Street and the money that might be there in politics. He had ethics that were beyond reproach, and it was reflected really by his wealth or lack thereof and his very slow accumulation of money after he was president.
You know, Sandy, even with that, you talked about his wealth or lack thereof. He was not a pauper, but he did not live his life in a manner of a guy who had some wealth. I mean,
The analysis of his net worth was that actually he was one of the poorest people coming into the presidency. He had a peanut business that had suffered. He had a net worth when he entered the White House, I just read, of about $300,000, which is like owning a home.
Right.
And it wasn't until after he was in the presidency that his net worth exceeded $1 million. And that was because of some of the 40 books that he wrote that actually were widely read and widely respected.
A guy who still lived in the house that he built with his own hands.
Yeah.
You know, he was an amazing man.
Well, you know, he got involved with Habitat for Humanity, and he actually went out on crews and built houses.
Yes.
With the Habitat for Humanity crew, which was a creature of his own invention.
Into his 80s.
Yeah.
He was still out with a hammer and nails. Yeah, he was just an amazing, amazing person in... You know, it just is more than frustrating that people, you know, want to still point the finger and talk about the negative aspects of it when the man clearly, Sandy, is somebody to uphold as a symbol of what humanity really should be about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really, shame on CJ, because I think that there's a time and a place for political discussion and political categorization, but all of this discussion today of Jimmy Carter as to whether his presidency was one of great achievement is nonsensical, number one. And number two, most of the things that have been pinned on him were not fairly done, okay? And he was really a one-term president based on a bunch of happenstance.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We're gonna add into the equation this battle between Steve Bannon and Elon Musk and Doge. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means New Year's Eve with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we run through some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things. Also, we talk the wonderful world of weddings coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11. Matinair on air.
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt and Air on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. New Zealand and Australia have rung in the new year. Security will be tight in New York tonight when the ball drops in Times Square. Rebecca Weiner is the NYPD's Deputy Commissioner of Counterterrorism and Intelligence.
Anytime you have this amount of people coming into such a confined space over a long duration of time, it is going to be a desirable target for somebody to do something bad.
CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano says it will rain on Times Square tonight. Elsewhere?
Season won't stay in Kansas City, Minneapolis, Chicago. I think the rain will be done with you guys, so that'll be good. And then in parts of the Intermountain West, where you've had some fresh coatings of snow, temperatures will be seasonal there in Salt Lake as well. Denver, 22 degrees.
People in former President Jimmy Carter's hometown of Plains, Georgia, are remembering him.
You know, my whole life he's been a big part as a leader in our country.
Carter will lie in repose at his presidential library in Atlanta this weekend. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.